Welcome to The Lay Disciple, a ministry of Truth Seekers Fellowship. Tom Murray continues our series of lessons on good angels. Yesterday, he began talking about their work in the life of believers. Join us now as Tom continues this lesson.
Well, welcome back to our studies in The Lay Disciple Bible studies on the angels, and we're dealing now with what are called the holy or the elect angels. And in our last broadcast, we covered 7 of the 10 works that angels perform in relationship to believers who are living on the earth. And we found that angels rejoice when anyone is saved. They act as guardians. They rescue believers. They also guide believers into truth and into action. And they also are used by God to answer prayer. And they are used to encourage the saints on the earth and to carry the soul of a saint who physically dies into the very presence of God. And that's going to bring us to the 8th work that angels do in relationship to believers, and that is that angels serve as spectators. They are always observing believers. Now, they have a ministry of observation as relates to believers, and they are always taking note of how believers on the earth are acting and how those believers are responding not only to God's commands, but to the situations of life. For example, in the book of Luke in chapter 12, verses 8 and 9, the faith of a believer is confessed before the angels. That's exactly what Jesus said, that the faith of a believer will be confessed before the angels. In Luke chapter 15 and verse 10, we find that angels observe when anyone is actually saved. Now, you must remember that the elect or holy angels have never fallen, therefore they have never experienced salvation, and they cannot totally relate to the salvation of a fallen soul, because they have never experienced that salvation. And so they have a desire to understand, and because God rejoices when any soul comes to salvation, the angels, of course, rejoice with him, that is, the good angels. But of course, the unholy angels or the demons do not rejoice, because that means they have lost a human soul out of their kingdom to the kingdom of God. Also, we're told in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 9 that the holy angels observe when believers suffer for their faith on the earth. The angels observe that. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 10, we learn that angels observe whether or not women are wearing a head covering when they attend the church service. Now, I know that this is not a common subject discussed in these days, but if you will go back in Christian history, I think you'll find that women never went into the church assembly without their head covered. It is a very recent and modern thing for women to go into the church service with their head uncovered. Now, there's a clear biblical teaching on this particular requirement for women, but we won't get into that in our study of angels. Then we are told that the angels do observe whether the women have the head properly covered. In the book of 1 Timothy, when Paul wrote his disciple Timothy in chapter 5, verse 21, it says that angels are present whenever a believer makes any commitment to the Lord. Angels witness that commitment. Then in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 10 to 12, we're told that angels actually observe and they look into God's work of salvation when a person is saved. It is so fascinating to the holy or the elect angels, this very work of God in saving a human soul, that Peter tells us that they stare at it and they wonder about this incredible restoration of a human being back to their Creator God. So that's the eighth work that angels do. They serve as spectators of believers, and they are not only observing, but in some cases, they are recording the good and the bad that we as believers do in our lifetime. Why? Well, our works can never condemn us in the sense of our losing our salvation in Christ, but our works as believers, if they are good, are going to be rewarded at the judgment seat of Christ and will determine our position of authority and our position of rank in the millennial kingdom of Christ. And those works that are not good are going to result in loss of rewards at the judgment seat of Christ. And what we need to do, those things the angels record that are not good, if we confess our sins, 1 John 1:9, we are told that God is quick to forgive us and to cleanse us, and the angels remove those sins from what they are recording in their diaries. Now that brings us to the ninth work of angels in the lives of believers. And that is here in relationship to the corporate group of believers that you would call the local church. Where you go each Sunday, your local church, God has assigned an angel as a guardian over your particular church congregation. So not only do individual believers in your church, each believer, have a guardian angel, but every local church has a guardian angel. Now you can see this in Revelation chapter 2 and also in Revelation chapter 3, where each of the letters is addressed to the angel of this church or the angel of that church. So every local church has a guardian angel. And that brings us then to the tenth and the final work of the holy or good angels in relationship to believers. And I guess the question here we ought to ask is, what should a believer do about the work and the activity of angels? And what kind of relationship should a believer try to have, if any, in light of the nine previous things we've learned that angels are doing for us? What relationship should we have to those angels? Well, there are four things that I want you to realize about what you should and should not involve yourself in with angels. First of all, as a believer, you are certainly allowed to wonder. You are allowed to be amazed at the angels' ability and to be amazed at their work as you read through the Bible, for in cases like Daniel, because Daniel, we're told, was amazed at these creatures in Daniel chapter 8, verses 16 to 17, and later in chapter 10, verses 1 to 9. As Daniel encountered these wonderful angelic creatures, he was absolutely awed and amazed and wondering over these amazing creatures. And you can certainly do that. But secondly, believers can appreciate all the ministries that the angels are doing. And remember, I gave you that verse in Hebrews 1:14. Now, when you close your eyes, if you are a Christian, when you close your eyes in physical death, the first being that you're going to see is your personal guardian angel that has been assigned to you from the moment of your conversion. And that personal angel of yours will introduce himself. Remember, all angels are masculine. And it will be his job then to personally escort you through the first and the second heavens. And if it happens before the return of Jesus Christ, you will be passing through the two heavens that Satan is the prince over. And you could not pass through his domain unless the angels escorted you. So the angels will escort you into the presence of Jesus Christ at the moment of your physical death, and you needn't be worried about that. So you can be aware, and you can certainly appreciate all the work of the angels throughout your life, and especially at your physical death. But the third thing you must remember about your relationship to angels is a negative thing, and that is you are forbidden to worship angels in any way. They are not God. They are creatures that were created by God. You need to read in Colossians chapter 2, verse 18, and also in the book of Revelation chapter 19, verse 10, and later in Revelation chapter 22 and verse 9. Not to worship angels. You should not try to contact your personal angel or any angel. They are not listening to you anyway. They get all of their instructions from God and from the Lord Jesus Christ. So you shouldn't try to contact, you shouldn't try to learn the name of your angel, and you certainly shouldn't get involved in worshiping angels. That is expressly forbidden. The fourth thing you should know about your relationship to angel is that in the future, we are told that the saints, those who have come to know God in salvation, are actually going to judge the fallen or the demonic angels. You'll find that in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 3. Now we, as I have told you, will not judge the good angels, because there is nothing to judge in them, but we will judge the fallen angels, and we will do that at the time of the great white throne as they are placed into the lake of fire. Now, I'm going to stop our study right there today, and even though we still have a minute or so, I'd like to tell you that the purpose of Truth Seekers Fellowship is to help lay believers, and by lay believers, I mean those who have had no formal seminary training. Lay believers come to really know the truths of their Bible. And my challenge is that I too am a lay believer. I have had no formal seminary training, but I have spent 35 years searching the Bible to know the truth. And I have a real heart for other lay people to know the Bible in some way like I do. And so we teach to bring them up to that level so that they can appreciate all of the riches that God has provided for us, not when we get to heaven, but during our journey. That's why we always encourage you to maximize your journey home. Well, I'm out of time, so I'll see you in our next broadcast.
Thank you, Tom, and thank you, friend, for listening. I'd like to encourage you to visit our brand new website at www.milktomeat.org. While there, you can sign up for a free newsletter, hear the radio programs, and correspond with us through email. Again, the address is www.milktomeat.org. If you have friends in other cities or countries, they can now hear the radio programs too. Just make sure that they get the web address. If you have any questions or want to order a tape of the program, call us at Truth Seekers Fellowship. The number is 901-685-3385. Outside Memphis, call toll-free 866-685-3385. And see you tomorrow right here for The Lay Disciple.